Well, Paul, here we are on Friday.
It's been a great week, Mike.
And we have a terrifically special guest for this quarter hour of Squawk 1200. Let me introduce acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, Robert Sumwalt.
Mike, it's great to be here. Paul, thank you both for having me.
Robert, you know, I've followed your progress throughout the NTSB, and I've been a part of the public hearing process, and you and I have been together on some panels. But now here we are at EA, and I'd like to start out by saying that everybody in aviation appreciates the role that the NTSB plays in advancing safety. And you're often the face of the accident investigation process. But I also well know that you're very involved in advocacy for safety through various initiatives and programs. Can you comment on a few of those?
Well, exactly. You're right, Paul. We are typically, the NTSB is typically associated with accident investigation. But you're right. A lot of what we do revolves around advocacy. And as you know, we have our most wanted list, which is a list of those areas where we feel we can make a significant contribution or reduction in our accident rates. And as it relates to general aviation, there's one specifically related to GA, and that is preventing loss of control.
So can you get a little bit deeper into this? When we're looking at loss of control, is this the scenario where it's a VFR flight that proceeds into IMC, or are there other variations of loss of control that you're looking at?
Well, there are certainly variable factors. I would say that certainly the stall spin is a problem that never really went away. But as you mentioned, continued visual flight into IMC conditions, I think that's an issue. You know, it's a lot of issues involved, and you know, almost half of the general aviation accidents are a loss of control. Mark Baker asked me in April, why is that issue?
President of AOPA.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes. He asked, why is that on the most wanted list? And I said, Mark, where are most of the fatalities occurring? And he said, loss of control. And I said, well, there you go. There's your answer right there.
So are you more specific in terms of your measurement or concerns, certified aircraft versus EAB?
It's anything in general aviation, so it would encompass the whole gamut of GA.
And do you see EAB as a particular area of concern there?
Well, we did conduct a study in 2012, I think it was, related to experimental amateur-built airplanes. And, you know, we did come out with some recommendations for what can be done there to improve safety.
So how do those recommendations flow to and through FAA and maybe turn into either policy or common practice?
We made those recommendations to the FAA, but also to the EAA to look for ways that can improve that we can raise the safety bar in that sector of aviation. It's a very important sector of aviation. We love it. But we want to make sure that those pilots who are flying remain safe.
Now, you're relatively new in this position. Talk a little bit about your own personal flying history.
Great. I started flying the kid that hangs out at the airport fence when I was, like many of us, at 17. Got my private when I was 17. Went to college. Started a flying club at the University of South Carolina.
Wow.
And you know, it was pretty easy sell there. The dean of students didn't understand why we needed a flying club. And as I was leaving his office, I said, well, our arch rival, Clemson, has had a flying club since 1928.
There you go.
He said, sit back down, young man. And within about 6 months, we had one airplane. And a few months after that, we had our second airplane.
So were you a public administration major in college?
Well, I started out as an engineer. I did not realize you had to know how to add and subtract to be an engineer, so I quickly got over into business administration and spent all of my time at the airport, including the time that I should have been studying.
Okay. And then did you fly commercially for a time then?
I did. So my first job was, of course, flight instructing and all that through college. And then the University of South Carolina bought a brand new Piper Navajo Chieftain and hired me to fly it full time. And I've stayed there for 2 years. Then I got hired by Piedmont Airlines and then stayed there for, well, of course, Piedmont became US Air. I stayed there for 24 years, left the airline to run a flight department for a Fortune 500 company down in South Carolina. And I've been on the NTSB now for exactly 11 years.
Okay, so new to the position is a little bit misleading.
Well, you're right. New to the position of acting chairman, I've been nominated by the president to be the chairman, and it's up to the Senate now to decide what to do with that nomination.
But Robert, what's the timeline for that then?
Well, good question. The Senate Commerce Committee is scheduled to mark up the nomination next Wednesday, August the 2nd, and then if it gets reported out favorably there, Paul, then it will go to the floor of the Senate for a full vote. And there are several nominations that are waiting in the queues, so we're hoping that the Senate will act on this confirmation in a positive manner.
Well, it would be well served by your presence.
Well, you're kind to say that. Thank you.
The transitions of leadership over the NTSB are relatively calm, non-dramatic affairs, it seems like, even though there have been several in recent months and years. Is that due to the way the NTSB is chartered?
We are an independent federal agency. We appreciate the fact that the other branches, the executive branch as well as the legislative and judicial branches, have allowed us to maintain that independence and autonomy. Our goal, Mike, is to call it the way that we see it. So I think as long as we're doing our job properly, hopefully we can keep our head down.
We're speaking with acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, Robert Sumwalt.
And Robert, I'd like to return to the loss of control and your most wanted list, and specifically the stall spin scenario. I'm in the training department at a regional airline, and I'm very aware that we have completely reconsidered how we are teaching and training stalls. This is a topic that seems like it still needs some attention, through all phases of flight training, both the general aviation as well as what we're now doing in the airlines. How do you see the new airman certification standards coming into how we're managing this?
Well, I think, Paul, you raise a great point. The way that we were teaching stalls, stall recovery, stall recognition and recovery traditionally in the past might have been a negative approach to the topic. So mm-hmm. I'm pleased to see that the industry has rethought that. So I think that will help. We're also very optimistic that there are technologies out there that can help reduce the number of loss of control events. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you can't repeat to anybody, okay? So we are planning to have a loss of control roundtable sometime this coming spring, and I think I'm going to be the one moderating that. So we want to explore what those technologies are. We're excited about the technologies. I'm excited while I'm here at the Spirit of America to look at the booths and see what some new autopilots that have auto level features and envelope protection. We're looking forward to learning more about those.
Well, and I mean, this has been in the technology mainstream now for a few years, looking at angle of attack indicators and the information that's being presented to the general aviation pilot. I mean, it's really driving it towards more safe operations.
Absolutely. And you're right. It's not just a single approach. It's a multi-pronged approach. We've got to do better with our training. We've got to do better with, I think the technology can help us a lot also.
The avionics marketplace, and you can certainly see that here at AirVenture, is just running in all directions quickly. And thankfully, there are some options for getting non-TSO'd equipment now into certified aircraft. How big of a deal do you think that is?
Well, I think it is a big deal, and I think it is going to help. And we look forward to learning more about that technologies when we have that roundtable this coming spring.
Of course, yeah.
Is a roundtable across all industry, general aviation, airline manufacturers, or what's the spirit of the roundtable?
Paul, pretty much focused on the GA industry, although the exact scope of it needs to be hammered out. But I think that since GA loss of control, preventing GA loss of control is on our most wanted list, I have a feeling we're going to focus most of our efforts there.
Sure.
Another thing that's happened with AirVenture in recent years is the rising interest in and opportunities to look at unmanned aerial vehicles. And I think everybody has a little bit of a queasy or at least an uncertain feeling about how that may contribute to accidents in a way or at a rate that we don't really see happening yet. Is that on the radar for NTSB?
Well, it is on our radar, but we are really a reactive agency. Congress has said that we're there to investigate crashes. So we have our workforce that are spooled up, investigative workforce that are spooled up, ready to investigate these. We don't have an official position on UAS, but we are, I would say, unofficially concerned about the implications.
We know you're very busy, and we appreciate the fact that you're taking time, you know, out of your day to visit with us. Do you have time to visit some things and just kind of see things that you might not otherwise get a chance to see?
You know, that's a priority for me. We've got some events scheduled this early on Friday, but right after this broadcast, I'm looking forward to cutting the umbilical cord and getting out and roaming around and enjoying the beautiful airplanes and the great people.
And we have a great weather today, don't we? Yeah.
It is a great weather day.
Now, have you been to AirVenture before?
I have indeed. It's great to be back.
Yeah. How long has it been?
Well, it's been too long. It was 2010, so it's been, 7 years since I've been here. And so I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. Have you had the opportunity to fly in?
Have never flown in, although when I was here before, I did take a ride in the right seat ride in the Ford Tri-Motor. So that was fun.
Well, there's an endorsement for the safety of the Ford Tri-Motor if the NTSB chairman's going to hop right in it. There we go, right there.
Absolutely. I like that a lot.
We've been talking with acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, Robert Sumwalt, who's visiting AirVenture Oshkosh 2017 here on a Friday as we speak today. Robert, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Mike, it's a pleasure. Thank you all for having me. Paul, good to see you again.
It's always a pleasure, Robert.
Thank you for giving me a great excuse to get out of Washington.
can't imagine why there'd be interest in getting out of Washington from time to time.
Well, get out on the grounds and have a good day.
Exactly.
Nice and dry today. So we're going to continue with Squawk 1200 in just a couple of minutes after this break. You're listening to EAA Radio.